الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصم صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا الا ما علمتنا انك انت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا الحمد لله يهديكم الله ويسهل إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite grace, mercy and kindness, has granted us amongst His innumerable favors a very precious favor in the form of this blessed month, the month of Ramadan. It is so blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this month to reveal heavenly books. The scriptures revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, Dawood alayhi salatu was salam, Musa alayhi salatu was salam, Isa alayhi salatu was salam were all revealed in the month of Ramadan. And regarding the Quran, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said, Khayrul hadith kitabullah. The best word is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Quran. It is the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It has always been there, it will always remain. So for the revelation of His kalam, again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the month of Ramadan. According to some narrations, the first a few verses of Suratul Alaq revealed to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam were during the night of Ramadan, and it was the night of the 24th of Ramadan. So Quran was recorded in Lawhi Mahfuz, Al-Lawhul Mahfuz. And thereafter, upon the instruction of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a copy was made and transferred into Baytul Izzah. Al-Lawhul Mahfuz is on the seventh heaven, and Baytul Izzah is in the first heaven. So the first copy of the glorious Quran was recorded in Al-Lawhul Mahfuz upon the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thereafter a copy was made and it was transferred into Baytul Izzah. And this happened overnight. The whole Quran being copied and transferred onto the first heaven in Baytul Izzah happened overnight. And it was the month of Ramadan and it was the night of Qadr. Night of Qadr, regarding which the Quran says, Inna anzalnahu fi laylatil Qadr. Indeed, we have revealed this Quran in the night of Qadr, in the night of power. Qadr. Qadr can mean power also. Qadr means value also, in the night of value. And it is called Laylatul Qadr because this night is very valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The day of Friday is the king of all the days. And the night of Qadr is the queen of all the nights. Or the king of all the nights. So Friday is the best day from the days and Laylatul Qadr is the best night from the nights. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this night for the revelation of the Quran from Al-Lawhul Mahfuz to Baytul Izzah. And the whole Quran was transferred from Al-Lawhul Mahfuz to Baytul Izzah in one night. So now we had two copies. One copy was in Al-Lawhul Mahfuz, one copy was recorded in Al-Lawhul Mahfuz, another copy in Baytul Izzah. Until today, the Quran remains in Al-Lawhul Mahfuz and the Quran remains in Baytul Izzah. And upon the advent of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam came with the revelation for the duration of 23 years. He would come to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam with a portion from the Quran. Sometimes a whole surah, a whole chapter. Sometimes a few ruku, sometimes a few verses. Sometimes a part of a verse. Sometimes only two words. And sometimes Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam would come every day. Today he came with revelation, tomorrow he came with revelation, the day after he came with revelation. Sometimes there would be a gap of 5 days, sometimes a gap of a few weeks, sometimes a gap of a few months, and sometimes a gap of a few years. After the revelation of the very first 5 verses of Suratul Alaq in the cave of Hira, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min alaq, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akramu alladhi allama bil qalam, allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. For 3 years, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam did not descend with any revelation. These were the very first revelations. Or this was the very first revelation, the five verses of Suratul Alaq. And these five verses have so much hidden knowledge in it. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam 3 years to absorb this knowledge. And after 3 years, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam came with the revelation, Ya ayyuhal muddathiru kum fa'andir wa rabbaka fa'kabbir wa thiyabaka fa'tahir. And thereafter, for the following 20 years, Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam continued to come with revelations. Sometimes after a week, sometimes after a few weeks, sometimes after days. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam gradually revealed the whole Quran to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in 23 years. So the Quran was recorded in Allahul Mahfuz and it was copied and transferred from Allahul Mahfuz to Baytul Izzah during one night, in one portion of the night. And that night happened to be Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr. And as I said earlier, night of Qadr means night of value. And it is called night of value because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted this night great value. So many virtues, so many fadail. And it is also called night of value because the person who values this night will become valuable in the eyes of the Creator. So this night has the ability to make an individual valuable in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all Laylatul Qadr. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to strive, especially in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, so that we are able to acquire Laylatul Qadr and the virtues of Laylatul Qadr. The reason why i'tikaf, seclusion in the last 10 days of Ramadan, seclusion in the masjid is sunnah, is because it is easy to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala during the 10 nights of Ramadan away from everything and acquire the night of Qadr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the Quran to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but before that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam to transfer a copy of the whole Quran from Allahul Mahfuz to Baytul Izzah. And that happened in the month of Ramadan during the night of Qadr. And when the very first revelation was revealed to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the five verses of Suratul Alaq, that also happened during the month of Ramadan and during the night of Ramadan, and it was the night of Qadr. According to some narrations, it was the 24th night of Ramadan. And Laylatul Qadr revolves in the last 9 or 10 days of Ramadan. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna anzalnahu fi Laylatul Qadr. We have revealed this Quran in the night of Qadr. The meaning of this verse is that we have revealed the whole Quran, we have transferred the whole Quran from Allahul Mahfuz to Baytul Izzat in the night of Qadr, and thereafter we revealed the initial verses of the Quran during the night of Qadr upon our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And very valuable night. وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. Do you know what Laylatul Qadr is? The night of Qadr is Laylatul Qadr khayrum min alfi shahr. Laylatul Qadr is better than 1,000 months. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say Laylatul Qadr is equivalent to 1,000 months. Allah said Laylatul Qadr khayrum min alf shahr. And 1,000 months is approximately just over 80 years. 82, 83 years. So Laylatul Qadr is better than 80 years. 82 years, 83 years. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how much better it is than 82, 83 years. So it is not equivalent to 1,000 months. It is not equivalent to 82 or 83 years. It is more better than 82, 83 years. How much only Allah knows? It could be equivalent to 90 years. It could be equivalent to 1,000 years. It could be equivalent to 2,000 years. It is better than 83 years. Such is the value of this night. And as I said earlier, it is because of these virtues that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given it the name of Laylatul Qadr, the night of Qadr. So I was saying, my brothers, my sisters, that the month of Ramadan is so valuable that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose this month for the revelation of His books. For the revelation of scriptures. And all the other scriptures besides the Quran were revealed in one go. So Torah, Zabur, Injil, and the scriptures revealed to Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the other Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, they were revealed in one go during the month of Ramadan. And as far as the Quran is concerned, it was revealed gradually. And it was spread over 23 years. And from Allahul Mahfuz to Baytul Izzah, it was revealed in one go during the month of Ramadan, during the night of Qadr. And the very first verses that were revealed to our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were revealed again in the month of Ramadan during the night of Qadr. So Ramadan is a very, very virtuous month. And it is a great favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us. Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to show the importance of the month of Ramadan, once gave khutbah on the last day of Shaban. Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam gave a khutbah, he gave a sermon on the last day of Shaban, on the 29th of Shaban. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in that khutbah, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, kad adhallakum shahrun azeemun mubarakun. There has dawned upon you a month which is great and which is blessed. And thereafter he said, Fihe laylatun khayrun min alf shahr. In it is a night which is better than 1,000 months. So the first thing Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam did was that he gave sermon on the 29th of Shaban regarding the month of Ramadan. And it's a long hadith narrated by Salman Farsi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So that shows the importance of the month of Ramadan. Importance that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam attached to the month of Ramadan. That he gave this sermon on the 29th of Ramadan. And thereafter he said, Shahrun Azeem, a great month. Mubarak, a month full of barakah. And thereafter our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there is a night in this month which is better than 1,000 nights, which is the night of Qadr. And thereafter our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives immense reward upon the worship and the devotion of his servants. If a person carries out an optional deed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him reward for carrying out a compulsory deed. There is a lot of difference between an optional deed and a compulsory deed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in a hadith Qudsi, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَضْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. A person does not acquire my proximity, my nearness through anything which is more beloved to me than that action which I have made compulsory upon him. So a person acquires the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person acquires the proximity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in leaps and bounds by carrying out the faraid. My brothers, my sisters, I would like to say here that let us be very, very punctual in regard to the faraid. 5 times salat is fard, it is compulsory. Fasting in the month of Ramadan is compulsory. Giving zakah annually, it is compulsory. Performing hajj, once it becomes obligatory, is compulsory. Abstaining from all disobediences to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is also compulsory. To abstain from consuming alcohol is compulsory. To abstain from backbiting is compulsory. To abstain from harboring rancor, malice, jealousy, pride in one's heart is also compulsory. So there are compulsory dues, the faraid and the wajibat. Faraid and the wajibat. And there are compulsory don'ts, the haram and makruhat tahrimiya. To abstain from these don'ts is also compulsory. So fard is compulsory, wajib is compulsory, abstaining from haram is compulsory, abstaining from makruhat tahrimiya is compulsory. The nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person can acquire by being particular with these 4 categories, the farais, the wajibat, the haram and the makruhat tahrimiya. A person will not be able to acquire the same nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same happiness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through any other amal. Be it sunnah, be it mustahab, be it nafl. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the hadith Qudsi, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ. A person does not acquire my nearness through anything which is more beloved to me. أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّا افْتَرَسْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. Then that amal, that action, that deed which I have made compulsory upon him. When a person carries out a fard, when a person carries out a wajib, when a person abstains from haram, when a person abstains from makruhe tahrimi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes very, very happy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the rank of this person in leaps and bounds. And thereafter, with the farais, with the wajibat, and with abstaining from haram and makruhat tahrimiya, if a person carries out more amal in the form of sunan, in the form of mustahabbat, in the form of nawafil, optional deeds, all these are optional deeds, sunan, optional deeds, Mustahabbat, optional deeds. Nawafil, optional deeds. Through optional deeds, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings this person so close to him that he becomes the mahbub and the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا زَالَ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ. And after carrying out the faraiz, the wajibat, and abstaining from haram and makruhat tahrimiya, which is compulsory upon my servant does not stop there. He continually acquires my nearness through nawafil, hatta uhibbahu, until I make him my beloved. فَإِذَا أَحْبَبْتُهُ. And when I make him my beloved, كُنْتُ سَمْعَهُ الَّذِي يَسْمَعُ بِهِ. Then I become his ears with which he listens, which he hears. وَبَصَرَهُ الَّذِي يُبْصِرُ بِهَا. I become his eyes with which he sees, with which he observes. وَيَدَهُ الَّتِي يَبْتِشُ بِهَا. And I become his hand with which he touches, with which he grasps, with which he holds. وَرِجْلَهُ الَّتِي يَمْشِي بِهَا. I become his feet with which he walks. The meaning of this part, this hadith Qudsi, is that when he becomes my beloved, then I monitor him, I supervise him, I look after him, and I make sure that he only sees what is lawful, he only hears what is lawful, he only touches what is lawful, he only walks towards those things which are lawful, which are profitable in the hereafter. And he becomes so important in my court, وَلَئِن سَأَلَنِي لَأُوْتِيَنَّهُ. That if he asks from me, I will definitely grant him whatever he asks for. وَلَئِنِ اسْتَعَذَ بِي لَأُوْئِذَنَّهُ. And if he seeks my refuge, I will definitely grant him my refuge. From this hadith Qudsi, we understand two very important points. Or rather, three important points. The first point is, nawafil are not insignificant. Nawafil, optional deeds, sunan, mustahabbat, and nawafil, they are not insignificant in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or in the eyes of our deen, in the eyes of our sharia, our religion, in the eyes of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are so many people in this day and age who has this thinking that farz, wajib, haram and makruhat tahrimiya, these are the only things which I need to concentrate on, because they are compulsory. And if I don't carry out a farz, if I don't carry out a wajib, if I don't abstain from haram, if I don't abstain from makruh tahrimi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me. My iman will be put to danger. My situation in the grave will not be so pleasant. The day of qiyamah will be horrific for me. I will be made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question me regarding the faraiz, the wajibat, the haram and the makruh tahrimi. So I need to be very, very careful as far as these four items are concerned. Sunan, mustahabbat, nawafil, they are not compulsory. Allah is not going to question me. This is wrong notion, my friends, my brothers, my sisters, wrong notion. The nawafil are very important also. Because in this hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that a person carries out all the faraid, all the wajibat, a person abstains from all the haram, all the makruhat tahrimiya, and if he fails, he repents immediately. Because if a person fails in what is compulsory, then it is compulsory to make tawbah also. So if he fails, he makes tawbah immediately, as soon as possible. And thereafter, he does not stop there. He continually seeks my nearness through nawafil until he becomes beloved to me. So in order to become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one has to carry out the compulsory actions and also the optional actions. So please, my young friends, my sons, my daughters, those who are in their teens, those who are in their 20s, those who are in their 30s, please give importance to the sunan. Give importance to the mustahabbat and give importance to the nawafil also. We have the opportunity, why not carry out a sunnah? We have the opportunity, why not carry out a mustahab act? Why not carry out a nafla act? We have the opportunity, we have the means, we have the resources, we have the time, we have the ability. Despite that, we do not carry them out because shaitan has planted this wrong notion in our hearts and minds that sunan, mustahabbat and nawafir are not important. A person cannot become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the sunan, the mustahabbat and the nawafil. A person cannot acquire this special high status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without the optional deeds. And another important aspect. That important aspect is that we as humans are weak. And we cannot fulfill any fard or any wajib according to the status of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was no one more greater than our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Despite that, after every fard salat, he would be heard saying, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. Why would he seek forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because he would feel that I could not fulfill the right of the demand of my creator. I could not perform the salat the way I should have performed my salat. This was the result of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that was embedded in the heart of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. The very pious people, they would spend the whole night or majority part of the night in ibadat. Kanu qalilam min al-layli ma yahja'un wa bil asharihum yastaghfirun. And just before dawn, when they would complete their devotion and when they would turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in prayer to ask him for the good of this world and the good of the hereafter, after spending the whole night in ibadat, they would say, Astaghfirullah, 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 Astaghfirullah. وَبِلَ أَسْحَارِهُمْ يَسْتَغْفِرُونَ. After spending the whole night in ibadah, majority of the part in ibadah, they would say, Astaghfirullah, oh Allah forgive me, oh Allah forgive me. Why? Because they also had recognized the greatness of their creator and they would feel that whatever we were able to do, it was not according to the status of our creator. So we are very weak humans, we are ordinary Muslims, we are weak Muslims. When we perform our faraid, when we carry out our faraid, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whether it is in accordance with the sunnah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or not, whether it is in accordance with his teachings or not. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows whether we are carrying out our ibadat with true ikhlas or not, true sincerity or not. And majority of us should feel this way, that my ibadah is full of shortcomings, or my ibadah is not complete, my ibadah is incomplete. Because I am weak, because my knowledge is limited, there must be some weakness in my ibadat. And we understand from the hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam that on the day of Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reckon us, He will obviously begin with the faraid. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find a shortcoming in our faraid, He will make these shortcomings up through our optional deeds. So let us assume that we are carrying out the faraid, we are carrying out the wajibat, we are abstaining from the haram, we are abstaining from makruh tahrimiyya, and we are made to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any optional deeds. And there was some flaw in our faraiz. There was some shortcoming in our faraiz. The angels would not find anything in our book of deeds to make up for the flaw that they will find or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will find in our amal. So nawafil are very, very important. Another very important point. This is point number one. That we should not look at nawafil and optional deeds as insignificant. We must carry out the faraiz, we must carry out the wajibat, we must abstain from the haram, we must abstain from the makruhati tahrimiya. And whenever we sleep, we should repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and thereafter we should carry out as much nawafil and optional deeds as possible. Let me quote to you Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala is one of the eminent students of Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. A great faqih. Ummah is, he is amongst those fuqaha and ulama and muhaddiseen to whom the ummah is indebted. And he was the chief justice during the time of Harun al-Rashid, the Caliph Harun al-Rashid. So on one side, he is the leading faqih, because Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi is no more in this world. So he is the leading faqih. People refer to him in regards to the fiqh matters. And he is running the classes also, where ulama are coming to learn from him, and by spending time in his company, they are becoming fuqaha. A great jurist, jurist of a very high caliber. And great, great ulama used to come and benefit from him. So on one side, he was teaching, he was running the classes of fiqh. On the other side, people would refer to him for very, very delicate and difficult issues in regard to deen, and he would solve those issues for them. And his other engagement was, he was the judge of the Supreme Court. He was the Chief Justice. So there were so many courts running under him, which he was supervising. And the other judges would refer to him in deeni issues regarding verdicts. So imagine how busy he must have been. And then he has his own private life. Despite that, it is recorded regarding him that daily he would perform nafla salat. Daily. He would be punctual with nafla salat. And can you imagine how many rakats he would perform daily, regularly, daily, without fail? 200 rakat. 200 rakat optional nafl daily. Sabit al-Bunani, rahimahullah ta'ala, a muhaddis. And if I can remember correctly, he was the student of Anas radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Sabit al-Bunani rahimahullah ta'ala. A very great personality. Again, a very busy personality. Learning, teaching, occupied. in ilmi and academic pursuits. Despite that, what was his daily nafla program? And this is nafla salat only. Other optional deeds only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. Optional fasting, optional spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tasbih, tahmid, tahleel, zikr is optional. Recitation of the Quran is optional. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what was the quantity of the other optional deeds. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullahi alayhi would perform 200 rakat nafla salat daily. And Sabit al-Bunani rahimahullah ta'ala would perform 300 rakat nafla salat daily. Performing salat with jamaat is, according to one opinion, wajib for male, for men. And according to another opinion, sunnah muakkada. If it is wajib, a person, it is compulsory for a person to, if it is sunnah muakkada, then if a person fails to perform salat with jamaat, if a man fails to perform salat with jamaat, and if it is sunnah muakkada without any valid excuse, then again he will be sinful. Sinful of a lesser degree than in the case of wajib. But in both cases. But to perform salat with jamaat in such a way that a person begins the salat with the beginning of the imam is not compulsory, it is optional. So if a person was to join the imam in ruku in the first rakat, or if a person was to join the imam in the second rakat or third rakat or fourth rakat or in the final jalsa, in the attahiyyat, he would be absorbed of carrying out the wajib or the sunnah muakkada that was upon his shoulders. And our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned virtues regarding those people who would perform salat in the first row and who would perform salat with takbir-e-tahrima. Right from the beginning, they join the imam in the salat. But it's optional. Imam Amash rahimahullah ta'ala used to say that for 70 years continuously, I have not performed a single salat where I have not begun the salat with the takbir-e-tahrima of the imam. Sayyid ibn Musayyib rahimahullah ta'ala says, according to some narrations 40 years, according to some narrations 50 years, that for 40 years or for 50 years, I made sure that I perform each salat in the masjid with jamaat in a way that I begin the salat in the first row with the takbir of the imam. And I think it is 30 years or 40 years. 30 years or 40 years where he says that 30 or 40 years have passed where I have always found myself in the masjid during every salat when the imam calls out for that particular salat. These are all optional deeds. These are the pious predecessors whom we have been instructed to follow by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do not say ihdina sirat al-mustaqim only. Oh Allah, guide us onto the straight path. We say, guide us onto the straight path, the path of those whom you have favored. Sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. And the path of those whom you have favored. Who are these people? Allah says in another place, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ أَنْأَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. Those who were favored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu wassalam. The Siddiqeen, the Shuhada, and the Salihin, the pious people. So all these personalities then are known as As-Salafus Saleh, our pious predecessors. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not commanded us only to study the Quran and study the ahadith and without looking at the lives of other people, our pious predecessors. Just follow what you understand from the Quran and hadith, no? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, اِتَّبِعُوا مَاُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Follow that which has been revealed to you from your Rabb. And what was revealed from our Rabb? The Quran was revealed from our Rabb. The ahadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were revealed our Rabb. So in one place Allah says, اِتَّبِعُوا مَاُنْزِلَ إِلَيْكُمْ مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ. Follow that which was revealed to you from your Rabb. But how will we know whether we have understood what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed correctly or not when we have not dedicated our lives? So we have to follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in the form of deen, in the form of religion, in the form of sharia. But how? How can a layman follow that which was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which he may misunderstand? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place, وَاتَّبِ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ. Follow the path of those people who turn to me. And inabat is a very high quality of the pious. So in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that follow the path of the pious. So follow what I have revealed to you by following the path of the pious. It is for this reason, it is necessary to sit in the company of the ulama, sit in the company of the mashayikh, learn from them, see their lives, observe their lives and learn from their lives, learn from their experiences. It is necessary to study the lives of the pious predecessors. The sahabai kiram ridwanullahi ta'ala alim ajmain, the tabi'in, the taba tabi'in, the muhaddisin, the mufassirin, the fuqaha. And it is necessary to study their teachings so that we are able to follow what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed in its true sense. So my brothers and my sisters, the first point I made from this hadith Qudsi was that we should not overlook the optional deeds. We should not overlook the optional deeds. We should perform the fard salah and we should try to carry out the sunan and the nawafil also. My late father, rahimahullahu ta'ala, was a very pious person. He was a godly person. He was a person of the akhirah. He did not have inclination towards this world. All the time he was concerned about the hereafter, 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 hereafter. And I saw him from a very close distance. Alhamdulillah, as far as faraid were concerned, he was very, very punctual. Very punctual in regard to the faraid, the wajibat, abstaining from haram, abstaining from makruhati tahrimiya. According to the knowledge that he had, he was not an alim, but alhamdulillah. He would sit in the company of the ulama, the mashayikh, very frequently. So he was a very godly person. Someone who had the concern of the hereafter. Someone who would want to carry out as many good deeds as possible. He would not see whether it's farz or whether it's wajib or whatever. And we used to see him perform the faraiz, perform the wajibat, perform sunan muakkada, sunan ghair muakkada, perform the optional prayers, and he would perform all the other optional prayers. For example, tahajjud, ishraq, salatul duha, chasht, awwabin, tahiyatul masjid, tahiyatul wuzu, and my mother, she is still alive, alhamdulillah. She is 81 years old. And I request all of you to make dua for my father and for my mother also. Because it was their initial effort and their initial sacrifice as a result of which all of you are benefiting today, if there is any benefit. So make dua for my father that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him forgiveness and may Allah elevate his status in Jannatul Firdaus and may Allah grant him the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen and the Shuhada and the Salihin. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep the cool and the sweet shadow of my mother upon me and my siblings for a very long time with complete safety, complete afiyat, and with good amal. And whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to call her towards the hereafter, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant her a very easy departure in the state of wilayat, in the state of siddiqiyat, whilst he is smiling with her and he is very happy with her. And may Allah grant us all the same and all our associates, dear and near ones the same, and may Allah grant all the whole ummah the same also. So when I asked my mother after the demise of my father, that tell me something special about father. So she said that from the time I came in his wedlock, other than the times he was away from home, which was very seldom, maximum 1.5 years. So from the time I came in his wedlock, I cannot remember him missing tahajjud salat. And I have mentioned this before also, that he joined Masjid-e-Noor in Leicester as an imam in 1972. And he continued until 1984. In 12 years, you will not find a single person in Leicester who will say that he was absent from this salat or he was not there for Takbir-e-Tahreema in this particular salat. Or people saw him completing his missed rakat. And he was not the only imam. Sometimes there were two of them, sometimes there were three of them. So despite the other imams being responsible to lead their salat, he would still be there for salat, Takbir-e-Tahreema. And after he retired in 1984, from 1984 until 1991, he was not imam. But he did not perform a single salat without jamaat and every salat with Takbir-e-Ula. So much so that he experienced pains in the chest the day before he passed away. But he took it lightly, like nobody people would do the very first time they would experience light pain. And he was going for the Asr Salat from home to the masjid. And between my home and between the masjid was my sister's home. So the pain became so intense that he had to knock at the door of my sister and he went inside. And when my sister saw him, that his pain was not normal pain, she asked him to lie down. But he said, no, I want to go and perform Asr Salat. So he went and he performed Asr Salat. And because he was not feeling well, he did not say anything to my mother also. He did not tell anybody. He remained in the masjid so that he would not miss his Salat. So he performed his Asr. After that he performed his Maghrib. He performed his Isha. He came home. He got up for his Tahajjud. He went back to the masjid for Fajr Salat. He returned from the masjid and as per his habit completed all his mamulat. He performed his Salatul Ishraq And then he went to sleep at around 6 o'clock. And he would get up at around 8 o'clock, 8:30. And whilst he was asleep, he passed away. Such noble people. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. May Allah grant us all the tawfiq. He would look for excuses. Somebody is sick, he would want to go and visit. Someone passes away, he would want to go and pay his condolences to the bereaved. He would want to participate in bathing the deceased. He would want to go and perform Salatul Janaza. He was so greedy for the hereafter, in regard to the hereafter, mashallah. One day I was sleeping, and very early in the morning, he woke me up. It was around 3 a.m. in the morning. So he woke me up. And he said, "My son, perform wudu, and thereafter perform tahajjud. We are going somewhere." So I said, "Where are we going at this early hour in the morning?" So he said, "So and so is returning from Hajj and we want to go and meet him." So I was young. I was approximately 20 years old. I was studying at Darul Uloom Bari and I had come for the Eidul Adha vacation. And somebody was returning from Hajj immediately after performing Hajj because he had gone a month or month and a half earlier. So I said, "We are going for the Fajr Salat. Inshallah, after Fajr Salat, we can go and meet the person." So he said, "No, I have made inquiries and he is due to reach his home at approximately 3 a.m. in the morning." And I said that there is a hadith that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, that when the Haji returns, then meet him and ask him to ask forgiveness for you before he enters his home. Because he is forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and for whomsoever he will make dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive him also. So he said that before he enters the home, we want to meet him and we want to ask him to make istighfar for us. Alhamdulillah, from the siblings, I was very close to him and I was given the tawfiq by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to benefit the most, and he would make me accompany him in my childhood. Every day it was his habit to perform Maghrib Salat and after Maghrib Salat long awwabin. And he would return home after the Maghrib Salat in such a way that there would be enough time to have food and return for Isha Salat. I am talking about India, when we were back in the village. Because in India, the times of Salat does not vary from winter to summer. So it's the same routine. Throughout the year, people would eat between Maghrib and Isha. So normally people would perform Maghrib Salat. After Maghrib Salat, they would immediately go home. But my father's habit was to remain in the masjid, perform awwabin, and he would leave enough time for him to have his food before Isha Salat. He was the imam of the masjid in the village. He was responsible for all 5 times Salat. And I was very much attached to him and he was very much attached to me also. So I would stay with him in the masjid. So I would go to the masjid with him. My other brothers would return home after Salat, but I would remain with him during awwabin also. And he would return home. When my father came to the UK, first he came alone and then the family followed. The very first day, between Maghrib and Isha Salat, there is nobody in the masjid. And during those times, there was no electricity as well. So small lanterns, and when people would leave the masjid after Maghrib, they would close the lanterns as well. The people started looking for me, searching for me. Where is Salim? Where is Salim? Where is Salim? Because I did not return home after the Maghrib Salat, the very first day after my father came to the UK. And because I was only 9 years old, they could not contemplate that I would be performing awabin in the masjid. The first madrasa, the first school, the first university is the mother and the father. I didn't know what awabin was. All I knew was that my father would perform 2 rakat sunnah, then 2 rakat nafal, and then another 6 rakats. And this had become my habit because of him in childhood. So after the whole congregation left, I was still performing my 6 rakat. And my mother got worried, where is Salim? So in the village, everybody gathers together. And they were worried. And when I came out of masjid, people realized that I was performing salat in the masjid. This was his barakah also, the barakah of his sohbah. So, when people make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure their target, then they do not differentiate between farz, wajib, sunnah, muakkada, sunnah, ghair muakkada, mustahab, nafal. They try to carry out as many good amal as possible to please the creator. And when that happens, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them a good departure also. Can there be any better departure than this, that despite having pain in the chest and experiencing a heart attack, he carried on thinking that it was a minor issue, but he did not leave the masjid. He went to the masjid, he remained in the masjid from Asr till Isha, and then he went to perform Fajr Salat also, and he carried out all his amal. He did complain to my mother that I'm feeling slightly weak, I'm feeling some pain in the chest, but he said it must be some cold or some muscular pain or gas. And then he went to sleep after the Ishraq Salat and he did not wake up. And when we were bathing him, and during the bathing process, a time comes when you have to lift the body of the deceased 3 times. You have to make the deceased sit up. There is a process in the ghusl. So, Hazrat Maulana Ghora Sahib, Rahimahullah Ta'ala, who was a very close friend of my father. They were best of friends. So he was standing towards the feet. And I with my brother were making my father sit up. We were supporting him. So when his body was lifted the very first time, that is when a person is able to see the face properly. Maulana Ghora Sahib said, Hafiz Sahib is smiling. So we held the body as he was. And Maulana Ghora Sahib said, come, look, Hafiz Sahib is smiling. And all the people who were giving him ghusl, they noticed that his face was smiling. His lips were smiling. And then me and my brother handed his body to somebody else, and we also went towards the feet side to see him smiling. So, nafla is important. This is point number one. And point number two, those people who feel, who think that farz is important, wajib is important, sunnah, nafal, mustahab is not important, please pay attention. Sunnah muakkada is very important, because when a person leaves sunnah muakkada without any valid reason, he is sinful in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sunnah muakkada is between farz, wajib, and mustahab and nafal. And then sunnah ghair muakkada, which is optional, mustahab, which is optional, nafl, which is optional. There are so many people who come at the time of khutbah on the day of Friday and who leave immediately after performing 2 rakat fard. No sunnah muakkada before salat, no sunnah muakkada after salat. There are so many people who do not perform the wajib after Isha salat. So please, my brothers, sisters, we want to perform farz, we want to perform sunnah, we want to perform wajib, we want to perform sunnah, we want to perform muakkada, ghair muakkada, and also nafl, optional salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. And in everything, after giving zakah, we want to give more lillah also, nafl. After fasting in the month of Ramadan, we want to fast the masnoon fasts also. Sixth fast of Shawwal. Then the first 9 days of Zulhijjah. From amongst them is the day of Arafah, the 9th of Zulhijjah. Then 9th and 10th of Muharram, or 10th and 11th of Muharram. The month of Shaban, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast frequently in the month of Shaban. And I know people in this country who fast the fast of Dawud alayhi salatu wasalam, despite the summer months being very long. And what is the fast of Dawud alayhi salam? Fast one day, leave one day. Fast one day, leave one day. Fast one day, leave one day. Nafla. Give zakat and spend in the path of Allah. So perform the farz hajj and thereafter perform nafla hajj and also umrah. Whenever the opportunity arises. Number two, there are some people who live an irreligious life. Thereafter repent at the age of 30, 35, 40, 45, 50. And after repenting, they carry out all the farais, they carry out all the wajibat, they carry out all the sunan, they carry out all the mustahabbat. And they try their best to remain engaged in following the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in carrying out the ibadat and the devotions. But they are not careful in regard to the farais and the wajibat they have missed in the past. The rights of Allah and the rights of the people they have violated in the past. So abstaining from ghibah, from backbiting, is fard. If a person has backbited in the past, then he will have to make up for it by repenting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and asking forgiveness from that person who was backbited by him. Similarly, in the past, he had taken money from somebody and he had not returned the money. It is necessary that either return the money, ask for forgiveness, or if the person does not have the means, then he makes it halal by asking for forgiveness and asking the person to forgive the loan. This is point number two. There are so many people who, after becoming very pious, are very, very punctual in regard to all five times salat. And they are punctual in regard to tahajjud and ishraq and salatul duha and salatul awwabin. But if you ask them that the salat you have missed for 15, 20, 25 years before repenting, are you making qaza of those salat? They would say, no, there is no qaza. From this hadith Qudsi, what do we learn? It is more beneficial to engage in farz activities than nafal activities. So instead of performing the tahajjud salah, the ishraq salah, the salatul duha, the awwabin, it is more beneficial in the hereafter to carry out all the qaza salat. Instead of engaging in the sixth fast of Shawwal and the ninth fast of Zulhijjah, it is better to make up for the fast missed in the past. So after repenting, a person needs to sit down with ulama, sit down with the muftis, and make up for all the loss that a person has made in the past in regards to deen. This is number two. And number three, there are people who are so-called religious. Their outer appearance is very religious. They frequently perform Umrah Hajj. They take part in the Dawah and Tabligh activity. They sit in the company of the Ulama and Shuyukh. They sit in the Durus, taking part in the Masjid. And alhamdulillah, they are living a good life. And they are very, very punctual in regard to the nawafil. Nawafil, wadhaif, adhkar, all the time engrossed in the masjid. But when it comes to halal and haram, some aspects, they are not particular. For example, the hijab. Hijab. They freely mix with the opposite sex. So we have one category which takes farz, wajib, haram, halal, makruhat, tahrimiyah, everything very lightly. That is the worst category. Then you have the second category which says that farz, wajib, and abstaining from haram and makruhat, tahrimiyah, that is what is compulsory. Finish. Oh, this is adab. Oh, this is mustahab. Oh, this is nafal. It's only a sunnah. It's not farz. It's not wajib. It's not compulsory. You cannot become the beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without engaging in these optional activities. You may become beloved of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of a lesser degree, not the higher degree. There are those who become totally religious after a time, but they forget the past. And they will be accounted for in the hereafter. And you have the fourth category, which always has been religious, or after repentance which has become religious, but they themselves don't realize that our lives are a mixture of good deeds and bad deeds. They are very punctual in carrying out all the 5 times salat. They are punctual in all the optional salat. They are punctual in all the sunan. They are punctual in azkar, durud-e-paak, salat alan nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, daily reciting 1,000 times, for example, daily reciting 3, 4, 5 juz of the Quran. Injunctions of hijab violated. They are involved in backbiting. They are involved in slandering. They harbor hatred for people. They harbor rancor, malice. They harbor jealousy. And as a result of not paying attention to tazkiyah, not associating themselves to a sheikh who is expert in this field, they become victims of superiority complex and they begin to assume themselves as very religious. So they become victim of pride also, haughtiness. They look down upon people. These are all sins. So what we need to do is to acquire knowledge and understand what Allah demands from us. What is halal? What is haram? What is farz? What is wajib? What is sunnah muakkada? What is sunnah ghair muakkada? What is mustahab? What is nafl? What is haram? What is makruh tahrimi? What is makruh tanzihi? And according to our ability, try our best to make Allah happy as much as possible. We must carry out the faraiz, we must carry out the wajibat, we must abstain from haram, we must abstain from makruh tahrimi because it is compulsory, and it becomes a means of acquiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the nearness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in leaps and bounds. And thereafter, to become the special beloved servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to carry out as many optional deeds as possible. And we need to exert effort simultaneously. The mindset should not be that, okay, let me bring faraiz and wajibat under control first. Then let me bring abstaining from sins and makruh tahrimi under control first. And then I will concentrate on sunnah. No, simultaneously. Because when a person carries out the sunan, the mustahabbat and the nawafil, then stamina is generated in the heart. As a result of which a person finds the farz and the wajib easier, which he would otherwise find very difficult. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. The point that I was trying to emphasize was, there is a lot of difference between farz and nafla. There is a lot of difference between a compulsory deed and an optional deed. In the month of Ramadan, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person carries out an optional deed, then that optional deed becomes equivalent to a farz deed. So the benefit that a person acquires through a compulsory deed outside Ramzan, the same spiritual benefit is derived by carrying out a nafal deed in the month of Ramadan. Now the question is that if a person carries out a nafal deed, then that is equivalent to a farz deed in the month of Ramadan, then what if a person carries out a farz deed? Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, when a person carries out a farz deed, it is equivalent to 7 farz deeds. So Allah will reward him as if he has performed 70 faraid. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, wa huwa shahru sabr. This is the month of sabr. This is a month where a person has to resist so many temptations. A person has to control his nafs not only from haram activities but also from halal activities. What is halal during other days becomes haram during the months of Ramadan, especially during the day. From dawn until sunset, a person cannot eat anything. Even halal food, a person cannot eat. He cannot drink anything. He cannot cohabit with his wife. She cannot cohabit with her husband. So a person has to keep his nafs under control. So it is a month of sabr. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَالصَّبْرُ ثَوَابُهُ الْجَنَّةِ. And the reward of sabr is Jannah. And we begin the day of Ramadan with suhoor. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, تَسَحَّرُوا فَإِنَّ فِي السُّهُورِ بَرَكَةً. Eat suhoor. Eat the pre-dawn meal. Eat the pre-dawn meal. Why? Because there lies barakah in suhoor. And then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that when a person begins his fast from that time until he breaks his fast, the fishes in the ocean asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him. Look at the virtue that this month holds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this month, this great month, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it very easy for all of us to make ibadah. And where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards us with manifold, rewards us immensely for the deeds we carry out, so much so that Allah rewards immensely for the insignificant deeds that we carry out. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said, Man fattara fihi sa'iman. One who breaks the fast of a person during this month, that means one who helps a person break his fast. There are so many poor people who fast from dawn until sunset, and when they break their fast, they do not even have dates to break their fast with. So a person prepares a meal and sends it to a family. A person prepares a meal, a person helps a person break his fast, whether that person is wealthy or that person is poor. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that this person helping another person break his fast will become a means of forgiveness for his sins and for his emancipation from the fire of Jahannam. For helping one person break his fast, Allah will make this an excuse to forgive all the sins of the person who is helping, and also Allah will emancipate him from the fire of Jahannam. So the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi Ta'ala Alayhi Majmain said to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alayhi Wa Alayhi Wa Sallam, that oh, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all of us are not wealthy. So we do not have the means to feed a fasting person. They thought that when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one who helps a fasting person break his fast, the meaning is that one who provides a meal for a fasting person. So the Sahaba Ikram Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, it is not possible for all of us to do this and to acquire this reward because all of us are not wealthy. So upon that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam said that the person who helps the fasting person break his fast with one date only, or with a sip of water only, or with a sip of milk only, he will also get the same reward. How generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes in the month of Ramadan. He is always generous. But in the month of Ramadan, His mercies and His blessings are descending like the monsoon rain. I remember my late father rahimahullah ta'ala again. As I said, in regard to the hereafter, he was very, very greedy. Very concerned about. And when a person worries about the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will guide him. Allah will inspire him to do those things which will bring him nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One day I was sat next to him in the month of Ramadan. And my mother would prepare the dates for us, for all brothers, and my father also. When we would go to the masjid for Asr Salat, we would not return until Maghrib. So we would take our dates wrapped up in a foil. So just before the Adhan, my father was engaged in dua. Just before the Adhan, a minute or half a minute before the Adhan, he started unpacking his date. And he gave it to me and he said, you give me yours. So I gave him mine. So I broke the fast with the date that my mother had given him, and he broke the fast with the date that my mother had given me. Both days belong to my father. But this was his way of tarbiyah. It was a question mark for me that why is he doing this? I was young, in my teens. After Salat, when we were returning home, he said, you know why we exchange the dates? I said, no. So he said, there is virtue in helping someone to break his fast. So I gave you my date and I helped you break your fast, and you gave me your date to help me break my fast. So you have acquired that reward and I have also acquired that reward. And that reward is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the sins of the person and Allah emancipates the person from the fire of Jahannam. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has also said that one who provides a drink for a fasting person, and drink is anything, sharbat, faluda, milkshake, soft drink, juice, or water, zamzam water or ordinary water, one who provides water for a fasting person, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him drink from my hose, on the day of Qiyamah, from the Hose Kausar. And he will drink from my Hose Kausar, and after that he will not feel thirsty in the field of Mahshar. He will not feel thirsty on the Pul Sirat. He will not feel thirsty until he enters Jannah. And he will only feel thirsty after he enters Jannah, because if he does not feel thirsty in Jannah, how will he be able to benefit from the drinks of Jannah? This is the month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to benefit from this month. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to value each and every moment of this month. So today's theme was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us a great month in which the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending, the barakat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending, the forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is descending, and He forgives so many people that our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has said in a hadith that every day during the month of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emancipates 1 million people from the fire of Jahannam who were so sinful that Jahannam was compulsory for them. Allah emancipates 1 million people. Million from the deceased people or living people upon whom Jahannam was wajib. Depending on their efforts, depending on the prayers of people. So some are forgiven due to their efforts, some are forgiven due to the efforts of other people and the prayers of other people. So that is 29 million people or 30 million people. 29 million people or 30 million people. And thereafter our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that on the last day, so 29 million people, 30 million people are delivered from the fire of Jahannam during the month of Ramadan, daily 1 million people. And on the last day, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala delivers from the fire of Jahannam people equivalent to the number He has already delivered. So Allah delivers 30 million people from the fire of Jahannam, 1 million daily, and another 30 million on the last day. So 60 million people are delivered from the fire of Jahannam. The first part of this month is Rahmah. 9 days have gone from this first part of the month, and tomorrow is the 10th day. Then the month of Maghfirah will begin. My brothers, my sisters, I urge all of you, myself also, let us make a firm resolution that from now until the end of Ramadan, we will give everything to the month of Ramadan. Except for our necessary activities, we will give everything to the month of Ramadan. And after Ramadan also, we will remain on our toes and we will continue to strive for the hereafter. We will neither commit any disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the month of Ramadan or after the month of Ramadan. We will neither engage in any layani in the month of Ramadan or after the month of Ramadan. We will neither spend time in wrong company, wrong environment during the month of Ramadan or after Ramadan. And we will always seek out good company, we will always look for good environment during the month of Ramadan and after Ramadan. Pray for yourself, pray for the whole ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوب على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما عاتيتنا اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا اللهم اجعل حبك أحب إلينا من أنفسنا ومن أهلنا ومن الماء البارد اللهم اجعل وساوس قلوبنا خشيتك وذكرك واجعل همتنا وهوانا فيما تحب وترضى اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم اللهم افتح لنا أبواب رحمتك لا إله إلا الله نستغفر الله نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا اللهم اجعلنا من أتقاء شهر رمضان اللهم اجعلنا من أتقاء شهر رمضان اللهم اجعلنا من أتقاء شهر رمضان يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين forgive our sins O Arham Ar-Rahimeen, forgive our sins. O the most merciful one, forgive our sins. O Arham Ar-Rahimeen, we are in need of your forgiveness. Forgive our sins. We have committed the major sins and the minor sins. We are guilty in your court. O Arham Ar-Rahimeen, O Arham Ar-Rahimeen, O Arham Ar-Rahimeen, we are remorseful, we are regretful. We ask you for forgiveness. Forgive our sins. Forgive our major sins. Forgive our minor sins. Forgive the sins of our wives, our husbands, our parents, our children, our families, our dear and near ones, our friends, our associates, those to whom we are indebted and the whole ummah. Forgive the sins of the whole ummah. Forgive us all. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enshroud all of us in your mercy. Enshroud all of us in your mercy. O Arhamur Rahimeen, enshroud all of us in your mercy. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make us worthy of the blessings that are descending. Make us worthy of the forgiveness that is descending. Make us worthy of the mercy that is descending. O Arhamur Rahimeen, you have granted us the month of Ramadan and the a'mal of Ramadan, the fasting, the taraweeh. O Arhamur Rahimeen, so that we may become your fearing servants. O Arhamur Rahimeen, we may become muttaki servants. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to spend this month of Ramadan in such a way that we become your muttaki servants. We become your fearing servants. O Arhamur Rahimeen, for as long as we live in this world, keep us steadfast on Islam and Sirat-i Mustaqim and the straight path. And when you call us towards the Akhirah, O Arhamur Rahimeen, call us with Iman. Call us whilst you are happy with us. Call us whilst we are your special friends. O Arhamur Rahimeen, call us whilst we are reciting the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. Call us whilst we are engaged in doing good. Call us whilst we are in Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwarah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, become happy with us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, become happy with us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, become happy with us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from doing anything that will bring your displeasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to do everything that will bring your pleasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, keep our tongues moist with your remembrance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, keep our hearts and minds engaged in your remembrance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, instill in our hearts your greatness, instill in our hearts your recognition, instill in our hearts your love, instill in our hearts the love for your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, instill in our hearts the love for the Quran and reciting the Quran, love for devotion, love for zikr, love for salat. And O Arhamur Rahimeen, disincline our hearts from all those things that displease you. Keep us away from sinful activities. Keep us away from layani. Keep us away from futile activities. Keep us away from anything and everything that neither benefits in this world nor the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, always grant us good company. Always grant us good environment. Keep us away from wrong company. Keep us away from wrong environment. O Arhamur Rahimeen, disincline our hearts from the love of this world. O Arhamur Rahimeen, purify our hearts from debasing qualities. وارحم الراحمين, adorn our hearts with good qualities. وارحم الراحمين, save us from the punishment of the grave. وارحم الراحمين, make our graves and make the graves of the deceased gardens from the gardens of paradise. وارحم الراحمين, save us from the horrors of the day of Qiyamah. Grant us your shade on the day of Qiyamah. وارحم الراحمين, make the easy reckoning easy for us. Make the pul sirat easy for us. وارحم الراحمين, grant us entry into Jannah with an easy reckoning. وارحم الراحمين, grant us abode in Jannah with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. وارحم الراحمين, grant us the tawfiq to value this blessed month of Ramadan. Grant us the tawfiq to value each and every second of this month. وارحم الراحمين, grant us the tawfiq to value each and every precious seconds of our life. O Arhamur Rahimeen, unite the whole Ummah upon Haqq. O Arhamur Rahimeen, unite the whole Ummah upon Haqq. O Arhamur Rahimeen, purify our hearts from rancor, from malice, from jealousy, from hatred for each other. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us all the tawfiq to love each other. O Arhamur Rahimeen, spread peace, spread mercy, and spread kindness throughout the world. O Arhamur Rahimeen, remove corona virus from the surface of this earth. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save each and every one of us from this virus, from the effects of this virus. O Arhamur Rahimeen, those who are suffering, grant them complete shifa with total afiyat. O Arhamur Rahimeen, those who are at the brink of death from any illness or without any illness, and you have decreed death for them, O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant them departure in the state of Iman with your pleasure, with your happiness. O Arhamur Rahimeen, those who have passed away, elevate their status in Jannatul Firdaus. O Arhamur Rahimeen, those of our parents, those of our teachers, those of our mashayikh, those who have been kind to us, who have conferred their favors upon us, to whom we are indebted. O Arhamur Rahimeen, those from these categories who are still alive, grant them immense barakah in their life, in their health, in their wealth, in their deen, in their taqwa, in their progeny. And O Arhamur Rahimeen, those who have passed away and who have departed from this world, grant them forgiveness and elevate their status in Jannatul Firdaus and reward them on our behalf. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us Jannatul Firdaus, grant us all Jannatul Firdaus, grant us all Jannatul Firdaus, save us all from the fire of Jahannam, save us all from the fire of Jahannam, save us all from the fire of Jahannam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, all those people who have requested us to make dua for them, or who expect us to make dua for them, or those who have right upon us, including the whole Ummah, O Arhamur Rahimeen, fulfill all their lawful needs and their good wishes of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save them from every evil of this world and the hereafter. O Arhamur Rahimeen, every good which your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has asked from you, grant it to us, and every evil from which your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seek refuge, grant us refuge from it. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين آمين.